You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch from Kansas City, Missouri, not for much longer. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, April 3rd, episode 3400.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic. Horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world. Happy Wednesday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. And Jamie is out dealing with family issues today. It was kind of a last minute thing. So thank you to Ashley for filling in at a very last minute thing. Appreciate that. We have a fun show planned for you today. Madeline Boast from Balanced Bay Equine Nutrition is going to tell us why protein is important in a horse's diet. Plus, Joy Orr joins us with an update on Retired Racehorse Radio and a recipe for cherry chipotle pork loin. So now you're also doing a recipe too.
I am, because I'm very pregnant and can't drink. I was assigned a cocktail recipe because Glenn really likes to torture me.
Well, I know you knew a few.
What are you trying to say, G?
I'm saying you're really missing drinking now that you're pregnant. That's what I'm saying.
It's true. It's so true.
So what recipe are you doing today?
I am doing a recipe. It's called Sparkling Cyanide, which some of you, pardon me, murder mystery fans might recognize as a story from Agatha Christie. I was recently gifted, whilst being very pregnant, a book called Agatha Whiskey. And it's all cocktails based on murder mysteries. And so I thought, how perfect is this to whip out my new book and find something I can't drink?
And actually, I think it would go well with Joy's recipe, too. So
I think so, yeah. Too. And I think it'd be great in the morning, noon, night. I mean, whenever, because you all can drink. And
I
can't.
You think any alcohol would be good in the morning, noon, or night right now? I know the first thing you're doing. Are you allowed after you to have the baby, even when you're breastfeeding, to drink?
Or you can. Okay. And like, we're all friends here, so like nobody narc out and tell the nurses at the hospital. But my husband might have a secret mission sneaking in some Sancerre for me, which is this lovely dry French white wine post baby.
I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened either.
I was like, you can't bring it in a bottle. Like, we need a code word. Like, you got to be slick about
it. It's got to come in a water bottle.
Yeah. We got to be cool, man. Because I really want a glass of wine.
Well, I got to say that we wanted to give our best to everybody that went through a terrifying night of storms. I know they went through your area. You didn't have it too bad, but boy, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky got clobbered. Some horse farms in Kentucky, we know we're taken out. I mean, flattened. One in Bourbon County called Hidden Rose Farm. I mean, you look at the pictures there, you're going, I guess two horses had minor injuries, but you look at the pictures. I mean, the place was flattened. I don't know how we didn't have horses die in that. It's crazy.
It's absolutely terrifying. It's just so scary because it could happen to anybody, really, you know, if you're in the storm's path. And I know I lose sleep when we're on a watch or a warning. And I just can't imagine having a whole farm and that stress and then going through what they're going through. So we are going to link the GoFundMe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we'll do that in our show notes. And, you know, this was heartening, too, because in one day, I mean, this GoFundMe was started yesterday morning. And, I mean, this just happened, you know, yesterday. And they already raised $46,000 in one day. You know, that shows you horse people, right?
It truly does.
You know, the other thing, when you look at the pictures, the barn was completely collapsed. It's good. Apparently, what I read is she believed in putting horses out during storms. And we've had this discussion 100 times on the show over the years. Do you put them out? Do you leave them in? My fear of putting them out was always getting hit by debris. And when you look, I mean, it's a miracle no horses got hit by debris. She did put the horses out, thank God, or they would have had trouble because the barn just collapsed. But, you know, they're lucky none of them got taken out by the shards of metal and wood everywhere. It's just, I don't know. I don't know that there's a right answer. The right answer is whichever one you did, that the horses didn't get killed.
So, exactly. I mean, yeah.
There were other barns too. I noticed on Facebook this morning, some of my other horsey friends were posting from Kentucky. There were other barns that were also destroyed. So our best to everybody in that area. I know Ohio, we're going to have Joy on. She lives in Ohio, and Ohio was getting hit. Today is our turn, and it's getting pretty dark out now. So we'll see if we get the whole show in. We're going to get it here, and I know that all up and down the East Coast are getting it right now. So keep your head down. Be safe, everybody. And as I mentioned, Jamie is out dealing with her mother issues. So hopefully she'll be back here on Friday, and we'll let you know what's going on there. But in the meantime, let's do some Daily Whinnies. We have a couple of auditor birthdays today, and the happy birthday to Lily Harmon and Ann Carney. We wish you guys the best birthday wishes ever, and have a terrific day. Go out and give your horses a carrot.
So my Daily Whinnie goes out to someone you might have seen on your Facebook feed in the past couple weeks, my English folk, that is. Brendan Wise is the bridleless phenom just taking over everybody's feed. Recently, he competed at the World Equestrian Center in show jumping. I believe it was at a meter 30, and without a bridle. Full course.
I think that was down here at WEC, right?
Yeah. It was absolutely incredible to watch. And, you know, Glenn, you and Allison had him on, I think, a couple months ago on your Equine Affair show.
Yep, that's correct. Because he's going to be there, right?
Correct. And so what I wanted to give a couple whinnies within the Brendan Wise whinny, Brendan is currently looking for some folks to ride with him at Equine Affair. So if you want a really unique clinic type experience and you're not afraid to go in front of a crowd, I encourage you to find him on Facebook. He's still looking for some riders. So that would be truly a once in a lifetime experience. And our auditors actually asked for me to reach out to him, and I was so glad that I did. He is so friendly, just absolutely lovely guy, and he will also be joining Christy McCormack and I on the show jumping show later this April to talk about bridleless riding in show jumping, because this is really a new world out there. You know, this is not things that have been done before, and people even were saying, you know, is that even allowed? And it's just, I think it's so cool to see. You know, I like seeing somebody make some waves. What can I say? I'm a little punk rock. And so I just love seeing something different and challenging the norm. And I'm just really excited to learn more about Brendan.
And, you know, we asked him that question, you know, about is it allowed? And apparently, you know, there's so many rules in show jumping. And the USEF has so many rules. But there's no rule about not riding bridleless. So, you know, they regulate what bit you can use. But apparently there's no rule that says you have to use a bit. So there you go. I mean, he proved it. He can do it. And he's a big advocate for this. And now he does say it's not for everybody, right? It's,
of course,
you know, you have to have a certain relationship with your horse to do a meter 60 show jump course, which is like as tall as I am, you know, to do that without a bridle is pretty incredible.
I mean, yeah. Talk about brave, right? And maybe a little bit crazy. I don't know. I love it, though. I'm not going to do it, but I want to watch somebody else do it.
I think he uses a crap strap, an old crap strap.
Yes, he does. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, around the neck. I think I asked him that, and I remember seeing it when I watched the video. Because how else would you hold on? I mean, mane's one thing, but you know, you're jumping that high. You better have something to hold on to.
Just for your own sanity, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we're going to get to our first guest. We have Joy coming up from Retired Racehorse Radio, and she's going to talk a little bit about what's going on over there at her show, and also give us a recipe. We haven't done one of those since Christmas, so I'm looking forward to it. Well, it's coming up on spring, and StateLineTack.com. If you head on over to their website, right on the homepage, you can click on their grooming and bathing section. They're having a sale right now on grooming and bathing stuff. And let me tell you, you're going to need it all. We just bought new fly spray and all of that stuff. And I know that right now you're wearing out your curry combs, getting all the hair off. Poor Scooter still has a ton of hair. It takes him forever to lose his hair. And he gets a coat for Minnesota, not Florida. So he hasn't figured out he lives in Florida. I don't know. He was born here. So they have shampoo, mane and tail shampoo, every curry thing you can think of, grooming bags, grooming totes, a bunch of it's on sale right now for up to 20% off. There's pages and pages of it, so head on over right now to statelinetack.com. If you're heading to Equine Affair next week, then check out the State Line booth. They have a very big one. They'll be there, so look forward to seeing them. Also, at Equine Affair, I'll be in the 200 row with Horse Radio Network has a booth, and actually, State Line is just pretty much down the end of our row. You can't miss it because it's one of the largest booths in the place. So statelinetack.com if you can't make it to Ohio next week. Joy, thanks so much for joining us. Kind of last minute, too. When we found out Jamie was going to be out, we needed some more guests, and you jumped in, and I really do appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to make your day a little bit more difficult and full of fun.
Well, and we haven't done a recipe in a long time. We're going to get to that. But what's going on at Retired Racehorse Radio?
Oh, so much. It's been such a blast. We just are finishing up our Behind the Judges booth series. So we already did two. If people haven't been listening or new to Retired Racehorse Radio, we had a dressage judge come on. We've had a hunter jumper judge come on. And we are working to get a Western ranch judge on. So really hitting as many facets as we can of what they're actually looking for in any horse coming into the ring. So this is for everybody, which we're really excited about. And then we actually just kicked off our new Making the Makeover series. This is class 3. So crazy that we are already on class 3 with them. But we have some really cool contestants coming through who are makeover hopeful, including a guy. So for all of our male listeners, there is one representing you this year. His name's Chris Benning. He is a riot. So you'll definitely want to check that out.
And you follow them then through the process to the Thoroughbred Makeover in October?
Yep. So it actually kicked off on our latest episode with two of our contestants. It was Dana Lee was her last name. I am awful with names, as we all know. and Maya Larson. And there are two amateurs who are starting. One of them is their first time doing it ever. So it's very exciting for their first time. And then we have two professionals. So Chris Benning and Jody Bush are our professionals coming in.
That's exciting. You know, as I just remember starting this show, it does seem like yesterday.
It really does. And I just realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, we had our fifth birthday in February.
5 years.
Like, you guys have, you've kept me around for 5 years.
I'm going to keep you around forever,
Joy. You might be
my longest
relationship.
I was trying to tell Ashley when we met, and I'm not even sure.
Oh, our first
you were
time
a listener
meeting in
a long
person.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. I started listening in 2014, and then you brought me on as a guest host a few times for Horses in the Morning in 2015. And just from there, you've slowly become like an adopted member of my family.
And you too. I met your dad. I mean, it's like we're married.
Basically.
Well, Joy, that's terrific. And of course, you can find Retired Racehorse Radio on any podcast player except Google Podcasts, which is now officially gone. So, but you can find it on any other podcast player. Joy and Kristen do a terrific job over there, and the show's pretty popular. Well, let's talk about your recipe. It's cherry chipotle pork loin.
Yes. It is a great one. It's sweet. It's spicy. It's savory. It's everything. And that's why I like it, because I can't just have one. I need to have all the options.
I love pork. Pork is one of my favorite foods in all forms. So I'll give it to us. What do you do?
Yeah. So it's super simple. All you're going to really do is make a marinade, and you're going to throw the pork in it, and you're going to cook it. So for the cherry chipotle marinade, there is also, if you don't necessarily like some of the ingredients, there's a couple different variations online. This is just the one that I personally really liked when I made it. You're going to want some cherry jam or preserves. I don't recommend using jelly. It gets really watery, by the way. Okay. So use jam or preserves, about a third cup. You're going to want some chipotle sauce. I have one. I'm going to pull it from my fridge and tell you the brand. It's got a little donkey on it. So it's, you know, horse girl well, friendly.
That's the one we have to use. Yeah.
Yeah. It's from O Brothers Organic. And their chipotle pepper sauce. Highly recommend it. It's pretty delicious.
Okay.
You're going to want about a fourth cup of that. 2 to 3 tablespoons of soy sauce. That should take most of your salt. If you really like it salty, you can add another pinch of sea salt if you want. You're going to want 2 tablespoons garlic powder, 2 tablespoons onion powder. Don't worry if you're trying to write this down and you're driving. I will give this recipe to Glenn.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes so you can have it. Yep.
Yes. 1 teaspoon sweet. Or teaspoon sweet paprika, 1 teaspoon smoked paprika. You got to have both, not one or the other. I prefer white pepper for this recipe. I know not everyone keeps that in their cupboard. So you can use black pepper, about 2 teaspoons of that. Cayenne pepper, just a teaspoon unless you like it spicy. Don't get mad at me if you add more. Can't come after me for that. It's your choice. I recommend one. And then you're just going to want 1 to 2 splashes of apple cider vinegar just to give it that little bit of acid. Whip that all together. You can either do it in a bullet blender, mix it with a fork. It's easy, whatever you need to do. I just use a Ziploc bag because I'm lazy and I don't like doing dishes. If you want to be good for the environment, you can put it in a Ziploc dish or a, you know, Tupperware. Marinate your pork loin. I recommend 2 to 3 pounds for about 4 people. And I prefer boneless for this. I think it's simpler, especially if you have kiddos. You can do boned in if you like that flavor. Just keep in mind, it's going to be a slower cook.
I can't tell you the last time I used a bone-in pork loin, because it's so easy now to get pork loin without it, you know?
It is. It is. And it's like, if you're a busy person, like all those horse people are, keep it simple. Just going to advise you to do that, and it's still delicious. So you're going to put that marinade together. I recommend marinating for 2 days. You can do minimum like 8 hours. Like if you just want to set it and have it ready for dinner because you didn't think about it before, that's fine. If you really want that flavor to soak in, up to 2 days. So minimum 8 hours or up to 2 days. If you're really cool, like my boyfriend Zach, and you have a sous vide, you can get it done real quick. If you want to go that route, I don't have the time. But, you know, kudos on you. That's for you. and then you have 2 ways you can cook it. So you can either grill it, which I would hit it hard to get a sear, and then turn the heat down to let it cook fully to an internal temp of 150 degrees. If you're like me and you don't have time or energy to remember if you even got gas for your grill that day, you can do the oven as well. And you can just sear it on the stove to lock in flavor. And then that's going to take about 5 minutes, and then put it in the oven at 400 degrees in a covered baking dish. I recommend adding maybe 1/4 cup of water just to create some steam in there, and then cook for about 10 to 15 minutes or until internal temp is 150. From there, you just let it rest 3 to 5 minutes, and you can serve it with whatever. We did mango coleslaw, which if y'all want that recipe, I can put it in the auditor chat, which means you have to be an auditor. Ask Glenn all about that.
Mango coleslaw. Wow, I never heard of that.
It's so easy and it's delicious. It's sweet and tangy. So it goes really well with coleslaw. It goes well with rice, cornbread, tortillas, grilled veggies. Because it hits kind of all the flavor profiles, it's really easy to put with just about anything you want. So feel free to pick your sides. And if you guys try it and enjoy it, let me know, because I would love to know I actually contributed something good.
And of course, for dessert, you have to have your boyfriend Zach's wonderful
handmade pies. Four berry.
Yes, my favorite. Yes.
And also, fun fact, Zach can do virtual cooking parties. If anyone wants to know how to make the perfect pie dough this year, hit him up.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
He is happy to do that for you. Yep.
That's a cool idea.
Keep that in mind for Thanksgiving for all you pie makers.
This sounds really good. Now, do you get both the sweet and the spicy? Do they both come out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's nice because you'll get hit first with the sweet and then the spice just comes in. It's just enough spice that even if you're kind of a spice baby, it's not going to be too much. So I said you can always add more if you like it super spicy. I like things pretty spicy. Zach's about, he says he does, he doesn't. He gets mild in his Thai food. Like, I've watched it. And I just added some chipotle sauce on mine just to make it a little bit spicier for myself. But the marinade is just a perfect blend of 50-50.
And I mean, it takes 15 minutes to cook. So, you know, that's a great option for us busy horse people. And then you're going to want to have something to drink with it. And I'm torturing Ashley with making her come up with a beverage to go with it. Ashley, what do you got?
Well, I'm over here wiping my mouth because not only are you making the pregnant girl present a cocktail she can't have, I'm now starving, even though I just had breakfast.
Have you had any weird cravings?
I don't think they're that weird. I think this may be strangest thing that I have been eating so much of is fried plantains.
Really?
Like, I love that for you.
I have been going so ham, and I do this little agave yogurt sauce. Let me tell you, this baby's going to come out the shape of a plantain.
Plantains is not the answer I expected, that's for sure.
It's not that strange, but I guess if, because I'm from Florida, and so we have a lot of like tropical influenced foods. So if you don't know what a plantain is, check it out. It's delish. So now that I know what I'm making for dinner, quite frankly, thank you, Joy. I recommend to everyone this sparkling cyanide, and it's a champagne-based cocktail. And when I say champagne, like, get crazy, use Prosecco, I don't care, just nothing too sweet. So no like Moscato d'Asti's. And if you enjoy a French 75, which is a really classic cocktail, you're going to love this sparkling cyanide. So you're going to need 2 ounces of elderflower liqueur. I recommend a Saint Germain because that bottle's also Gorgina. And I just like having pretty things around. You're going to want 2 ounces of gin, dealer's choice. And then you're going to use some simple syrup. If you don't have any simple syrup, you can make this yourself. It literally is the easiest thing ever. You take 1 cup of boiling water, take off heat, add 1 cup of sugar till it's dissolved. And then you can keep that in your fridge and use it until it's gone. It truly is simple syrup. And then in that glass with your 4 ounces of booze, you're going to top it off with some Brut sparkles and throw in a rosemary sprig for garnish. And rosemary is the main character of Agatha Christie's sparkling cyanide novel. So the rosemary sprig is kind of a nod to the original tale. But if you don't have a sprig, just enjoy it. It doesn't matter.
This sounds Get crazy. Really good, actually. It does sound really good.
And like, I feel like because it has champagne, it is like acceptable for breakfast.
There you go. Or why just have orange juice and champagne for breakfast? We can have this
I love this. And
I love anything with champagne in it.
I really do too.
Just
good.
Joy, I think you and
I ever think a little fancier.
I think we might have had champagne one night at Rolex. I think we might have done that one time when we were together, Joy. Well, this is great. So we have the cherry chipotle pork loin and sparkling cyanide. And we'll put both of those recipes in the show notes. Thank you both for bringing on your recipes for today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And Joy, you can find at Retired Racehorse Radio. Look it up on any podcast player.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with Fly Predators. Fly Predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about Fly Predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G-labs.com.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. And joining us now is Madeline Bost from Balanced Bay Equine Nutrition Consulting. Welcome, Madeline. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing great. So I reached out to you a couple weeks ago as I saw a wonderful article on thehorse.com all about protein in sport horse diets. So before we jump into the article, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about Balanced Bay Equine Nutrition Consulting, how you got that started, and kind of where it brought you to today.
Yeah, so I'm sure like most of the listeners, I have always been totally horse crazy and couldn't get enough time in the barn, it always seemed. And so this led me to pursue a undergraduate degree in equine management at the University of Guelph, which is in Ontario, Canada. During that undergrad degree, my mare Piper was seriously injured, which resulted in her being on stall rest and having weight management issues and muscle loss and a whole bunch of issues. And I had a hard time finding a qualified equine nutritionist to come see her that was independent of feed brand or supplement brand. So that led me to pursue a master's degree in equine nutrition, again, at the University of Guelph. And when I completed that, I wanted to make sure that this was going to be available to horse owners across Ontario and across North America as well. And so I launched Balanced Bay, which really just focuses on treating each and every horse individually, maintaining a focus on forage first, and working one-on-one with the horse owner through any nutritional challenges.
That's so impressive. You know, anecdotally, whenever I ran into issues with my horses in their feed, you know, whether it's losing weight, gaining weight, muscle mass, et cetera, we kind of just asked around at the barn, you know, the person with the most horses or the most years of experience, hey, what would you do? And frankly, I think it's just so cool that you're so specialized and educated in nutrition specifically. So let's transition to this article from thehorse.com. Tell us about why protein is important in horses' diets.
So protein is, of course, a major component of body tissues. It plays a role in enzymes, hormones, antibodies. When we think about muscle development and repair, it's really important. And so it is actually one of the six required nutrient classes for horses. But one kind of aspect of it that does get a little bit overlooked is when we discuss protein, horse owners need to understand that protein molecules are composed of amino acids. And so there are both essential and non-essential amino acids, and the essential ones must be provided in the diet. So in broad terms, we talk about protein and our horses maybe crude protein requirement. But when we talk about things like protein quality, we need to be shifting our focus more towards the amino acids.
And what are some of the better sources of the high quality proteins or high quality amino acids that I should look for to add to my horse's feed, or how can I get that into their diet?
High quality protein is a really common question and a really important one too. So when we discuss high quality protein sources, we're talking about protein sources that have a large proportion of those essential amino acids. The other aspect of the high quality protein is we want it to be readily digestible for the horse in the small intestine. So if you're looking to add some good quality protein to the diet, products like whey protein or alfalfa or soybean meal are a couple of really common examples that we see.
And so you had mentioned the six necessities that are needed in a horse's diet outside of protein. What are the other five?
So we have protein, of course, carbohydrates, fats, vitamins, minerals, and water is actually one of them as well.
Well, that makes perfect sense. What are some of the most common equine nutrition challenges that you see horse owners facing?
I would say the most common nutrition challenges would be equine obesity. I see a lot of that, as well as a lack of hay testing, I would say, is the other challenge that I broadly see.
You know what, though? The hay testing ones come up on the show before. In Florida, we're only buying a pickup truck load at a time. So it's almost impossible, you know, because we're not, you know, when we lived in Pennsylvania, we had a whole barn full, right? We'd buy it, yeah. You know, you'd buy it by the tractor trailer. Here, you know, by the time we go buy the next batch, it's a different batch. You know, there's no way we could do it.
Yeah. And with hay testing, there's a few different, I guess, analyses you can send the hay for. And if it's changing quite frequently, you can actually just send it for a basic analysis, which uses NIR at the lab. And you can get that sample results back in a couple of days. And it tends to be pretty economical. So if you go for one of those samples that will just tell you the basics, it can work even if you are getting a batch every month, for example.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because it's sometimes, you know, we're getting it every week. You know, so it's just tough.
Yeah.
I guess it depends where you live and what your situation is.
It totally does. And that's kind of where the personal aspect of balanced hay comes in, is when I do have those situations where regular hay testing just isn't realistic for that particular horse or that particular horse owner, then I can balance the diet a little bit differently and making sure I'm maybe using an average hay analysis or taking into account that things are going to vary a little bit week to week even.
Madeline, is there something surprising that you learned while studying or in practice about horse nutrition, or maybe a favorite story that you could share?
Oh, a favorite story is probably a good one. I would say one of my favorite stories is working with a pair of miniature horses who live with a large horse, a regular size horse in their paddock. And this is a common thing that we see, but we don't really think about the management or things we need to do outside of that they live together. And maybe we feed them a different ration day to day. But this situation was particularly my favorite because we looked at the nutrition, we balanced their diet to the hay that they were consuming with a focus on sourcing lower energy hay for that group of horses, but then also implemented management changes like increased movement in the pasture simply by rearranging how the pasture was laid out. So even though the miniature horses had different nutritional needs than the regular sized horse that they lived with, we were able to really dive into that specific management challenge and do some trial and error on what was going to work best for all of the horses involved.
I'm glad that you went into detail about how you got them to move around more in the pasture, because I was picturing something completely different, chasing around the minis, encouraging them to run around. So clearly you are a wealth of knowledge. And I wanted to ask before we wrap up today, what services you offer and where folks can find you?
So the Balanced Bay website is balancedbay.ca, and you can find all of the information there. I offer a wide array of nutritional services, from hay testing, both on-farm and remote consultations. On-farm is offered to anyone within Ontario. The most popular package I offer is called the Personal Nutritionist Package, and it's really designed so I can just be there for you and your horse every step of the way. It's a one-time upfront package cost, and then you get a full year of unlimited service. So that tends to be what people prefer to go with.
How cool is that, to have a true professional in your pocket helping you make sure that your horse is getting all the nutrition they need? Madeline, thank you so much for joining us today. We will happily include links to your website and the horse article in our show notes, and we will see you around. Madeline, thank you.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Our full line of specialty horse feeds is unique in the industry. We start with high-quality non-GMO grains that are flame-roasted for safety and better digestibility. And then we add non-GMO alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Your horse will enjoy unsurpassed balanced core nutrition with elevated levels of vitamins, zinc and copper, prebiotics, probiotics, and electrolytes in every mouthful. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at DailyDoseEquine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Well, before we wrap up the show, we wanted to do something. We don't have weird news today, and this is kind of weird news because Forbes just came out with their list of the wealthiest people. And, of course, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is on the list. But this list, you always hear about the men. This list is the 10 of the wealthiest women that are on the billionaire list. Do you realize there are 2,781 billionaires now?
I'm sorry.
2,700 billionaires.
I'm not even going to go down that path.
When we were kids, being a millionaire was the big thing, right? I mean, you'd never talked about anybody being a billionaire when we were kids.
And that is wild.
Yep. So we'll go down to number 10. We'll see if you've heard of any of these, okay?
Yes. Number 10. I had no promises, but I did look at their pictures when we were going through the show before we hit record. And I will share with you guys what I told Glenn. I said, gosh, you know, if I had that much money, I'd just dress so much better.
Abigail Johnson is 62. She's the 10th richest woman in the world, worth $29 billion. And she is the CEO of a fund management giant, Fidelity Investments. By the way, as a side note, I sold a lot of Fidelity Investments when I was in the financial world.
So what you're saying is you should get a cut.
I apparently made her richer, yes. That's what I'm saying. And she looks like a librarian. She looks like a librarian at your high school library. That's what she looks like. Gina Reinhart is worth $30 billion, and her father is Lang Hancock, who was an iron ore explorer. That sounds like something out of the 1800s.
Yeah, honestly.
And had set up a company that was struggling financially until she took the reins. She is the reason that she became an executive chairwoman in 1992, and she built Hancock Prospecting to the point where it is today. So it was her doing that. She got her daddy out of the woods, and she built it to now she's worth $30 billion. So good for her.
Yeah, no kidding.
Miriam Adelson is worth $32 billion. So far, I have never heard of any of these.
No.
She's a physician, and she's 78 years old. She was born in Israel and is the widow to Sheldon Adelson, the former CEO and chairman of the casino company Las Vegas Sands. So it's the Sands Casinos. He died at age 87 in 2001, and she inherited it all. So there's still money in gambling. That's what that comes down to. Did you see the Tropicana closed?
One
of the original casinos in Las Vegas has now closed. It's like the second or third. It was one of the mob ones that started like back, you know, in the early mob days. Tropicana was one of the original ones, and it has now closed in the last week, and is being they're putting a football stadium in. So there you go. Seven is, I don't know how to say this one, Rafaela Aponte
Diamant.
And she is how old is she? Doesn't say.
79.
How old?
I'm seeing on a different article by Forbes.
Okay. How old?
79.
79. She's worth $33 billion, and she owns a 50% stake in MSC, the world's largest shipping line. So there you go. And they also have cruise ships. By the way, they started the shipping industry together, her and her husband, and purchased their first ship, a small cargo vessel named Patricia, in 1970 for $200,000. They took out a loan. And from that,
so they grew that to $33 billion. Yeah. Well, you know,
we do podcasting
because we love it, not for the money.
Yeah,
right,
not for the money. I was not able to get Horse Radio Network worth $1 billion, that's for sure. Savitri Jindal, the richest woman in India. She's a net worth of $33 billion. She's the 46th wealthiest person overall. And the Jindal Group is a conglomerate based in New Delhi. It was founded by her husband. It specializes in power and steel. It also has a whole bunch of other industries. I just hope one of them's not spam calling us. probably call centers too, I imagine. Mackenzie Scott, worth $36 billion, and you know who she is.
Oh, yes. This is one that I was like, wait, I know her.
Yes. She is the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, and she got $36 billion out of that divorce. Did pretty well.
Listen, and she's just out here being a philanthropist. Like, what a beautiful way to stick it to your ex. Like, yeah, yes. I got billions of dollars out of you. You know what I'm going to do? Give it away, baby.
Yes, she's given away more than $17 billion to 2,300 nonprofit organizations. So good for her.
Yes.
You all know this name, and it's part of the reasons I did the list is because Mars has been a sponsor of a ton of equestrian events. They're one of the biggest sponsors in the horse world, especially in the English side, and that's as a result of Jacqueline Mars, who is worth $38 billion, and her grandfather, guess what her grandfather did?
Oil? Chocolate. I don't know, gold?
Bars,
oh, the chocolate. Right. That's yes. What. Yes. The Mars bar, which I was just Googling because, you know, the name is obviously synonymous, but I would be lying to you if I told you I've had a Mars bar.
I have had one, but it's been a long, but it's one of the bars you don't think about it. You know, after you've had a Snickers, Milky Way and Mars just don't add up anymore.
Well, so I was like, what's in a Mars bar? It's nougat and caramel and creamy milk chocolate. So it's a Milky Way, right? Like, I don't want to offend anybody, but...
Yeah, I mean, Mars does make Snickers bars, but, you know, and everything else now, Mars, you know...
Right, I just... A Mars bar, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, but the Mars bar was first introduced by her grandfather, Frank Mars, in 1911 in a kitchen in Tacoma, Washington. They started making chocolates. Yep. And she apparently owns an estimated one-third of the Mars empire, having worked for the company for nearly 20 years, and she served on the board until 2016. And now she plays around in the horse world. And one of the other names you're going to know is Alice Walton.
And, yes. Yeah,
Walmart fame. She was the only daughter of founder Sam Walton and is said to be worth $72.3 billion. That's correct. Billion.
I don't even know... Like that amount of money, $7,000, I can like wrap my mind around. Anything north of that, billion with a B, like $72 billion.
And it's interesting because her brothers, Rob and Jim, went into the Walmart business, but she didn't. She was the one that didn't of the kids, and she started curating art and purchasing her first piece when she was 10 years old. So she actually spearheaded the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, which opened to the public in her hometown of Bentonville, Arkansas in 2011. And there you go. She's an art connoisseur.
And which then, Bentonville, for those of you who don't know, is Walmart HQ. In Arkansas, I know my best friend works for corporate, and it's like Pleasantville Walmart style. Like, you can get groceries delivered to your backyard via drone.
Is that right?
It's crazy. Everything there is Walmart. It's like a little bit creepy.
Well, Alice also bred horses for more than a decade at a ranch in Texas, and she sold that in 2015, having owned 6 championship horses over the years. So she got out of the horse business, though. And then, is it Francois Betancourt Myers? And she's the richest woman in the world, worth almost $100 billion, granddaughter of the founder of L'Oreal. It's hard to believe L'Oreal, you know, that there's that much money in it.
Well, you see, it has the other brands under the umbrella, like Maybelline, Kiehl's, Lancome. It's more than just your drugstore lotion, baby.
Yeah, God. I mean, so she's worth $100 billion, and she is the granddaughter of the founder. I wonder how many other kids were involved and how much they own. She's 70 years old. Not the style I would pick, looking at her picture.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if I had almost $100 billion with my Dr. Evil pinky to my mouth, like, I would be dressed so cute in the latest style. And like, I maybe that needs to be my next career, Glenn, is once we retire from podcasting, I'm just going to be a stylist to the stars.
Well, she apparently is quite reclusive and has purportedly written two books, one on the Bible and the other on the Greek gods. There's a contrast. And she apparently plays the piano 4 hours a day. She's a champion of philanthropic causes, largely through her family's foundation. They have donated $226 million to help repair Notre Dame Cathedral.
I think is getting finished this year, if I believe. Yeah, they're unveiling it soon.
We just watched a documentary on it, and it's incredible. They still used wood up there to repair the roof. It looks good. I mean, it's looking cool, but she was one of the largest benefactors to make that happen. Even if you have $100 billion, you can afford $226 million is like $100. So
it's like a sneeze. Yeah, I mean, come on. Exactly.
So we had two that were involved in some way in horses on that list. But there you go. We never hear about the women. So that's the women on the billionaires list. We're not going to do a post show today partly because we had to plan this so quickly. We do appreciate you listening, and we're thinking about Jamie and her family. And we hope that she's back on Friday. If she's not, Ashley will be here. You're going to fill in on Friday again, too.
That's right. Like it or not, I might be here.
Get your, we definitely want you to get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, because regardless, we'll be doing them on Friday. Mary Kitzmiller and Jennifer will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode answering listeners' training questions. And then somebody will be here on Friday to do a show for you. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ashley. And where can people find your shows?
Oh, you can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com or on your favorite players. You can find Sleep Stories for Equestrians, The Show Jumping Show, and the latest Quarter Horse Podcast.
You're one of our most prolific hosts already.
You know, somebody keeps me busy.
I don't know who that is. That just means I don't have to host Show Jumping, which I don't know.